Answers Magazine, Volume 13.4, page 45. Bible and Culture Quick Takes, A New Kind of Student. LGBT students are packing their bags and heading to a surprising place, Christian colleges. At Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, junior Sam Costner is an openly queer student who calls Bible verses that specifically reference homosexuality clobber passages. They're used to clobber queer kids back into being straight. So, Costner skips those passages. When I realized that my faith wasn't necessarily about the church, and it wasn't even necessarily about the Bible, but about my relationship with God, and that God is all-encompassing and loving, I felt very free. Costner finds her fellow classmates welcoming and open to her beliefs. People I've met in the English department and even in my dorms, they're like, "Oh, you're queer? Okay, cool. Do you want to go get pizza?" Even professors at liberal colleges like Calvin recognize the conflict between the Bible and modern ideas about gender identity. Mary Hulst, a chaplain at Calvin, says she finds it difficult to balance her views of the Bible and her personal feelings. "We love our LGBT people. We love our Church of Jesus Christ. We love Scripture. So those of us who do this work are right in the middle of that space. We are living in that tension. The chances that LGBT students will leave the church are much higher. Reconciling this tension may soon have wider ramifications. Christian colleges could lose federal funding if they deny admission to LGBT students." In 2016, President Obama notified colleges that his administration included sexual preference in the anti-discrimination provisions of Title IX. Although the Trump administration repealed President Obama's order, Christian colleges recognized that the situation could change in one election cycle. Dale Kemp, chief financial officer at Wheaton College, says, "The fear is so large in many institutions because 40 or 50 or maybe even 60% of their budgets are really coming from the federal government. Losing that funding would threaten their survival." Christian colleges in the U.S. are under increasing pressure to elevate human opinions about homosexuality above God's word. Rather than speaking the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, they are being pushed to conform to unbiblical ideas. God calls Christians not to conform to this world, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but to be transformed, whatever the cost, even if that means losing government funding.
Believing in a fairy tale. Atheists often accuse Christians of believing in fairy tales. Meanwhile, Christians counter that atheism offers no meaning for life. In a 2018 study, psychologist David Speed set out to see if atheists really agree with the sentiment, "In my opinion, life does not serve any purpose." The study concluded that most atheists believe they do find meaning in life, but it's a meaning they come up with on their own. They say they believe that life is only meaningful if you provide the meaning yourself. Richard Weikart, a conservative professor of history at California State University, boils down the implications of this study in The Federalist. If one can find meaning in life by creating one's own meaning, then one is only finding the product of one's own imagination. This makes meaning on par with myths and fairy tales. If atheism were true, life would have no ultimate objective meaning. But God made it so humans can't live that way. They need meaning, so they invent one. Who really believes in fairy tales? Trumpeting abortion in the Bible Belt. Amelia Bono, who popularized the "Shout Your Abortion" hashtag on social media 3 years ago, recently toured North Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida, encouraging women to share their abortion story because it's not something to be ashamed of. Bono proclaims, "Plenty of people still believe that abortion is a choice which should be accompanied by some level of sadness, shame, or regret. But you know what? I have a good heart, and having an abortion made me happy in a totally unqualified way. Why wouldn't I be happy that I was not forced to become a mother?" At each event, Bono shared her abortion story and introduced a friend, Poppy Lou, who talked about her own abortion at a Planned Parenthood clinic in New York. At the end of each event, she handed out pins that said, "Abortion is normal." Bono says women often do not feel able to talk about their abortion experiences and process them in the way they would with almost any other life experience. The culture of silence prevents women from sharing abortion experiences, both good and bad, and keeps discussions about the reality of abortion planted in the rhetorical and theoretical rather than the personal. In effect, Bana was encouraging women to feel good about sacrificing their children to their own selfish desires. As a result, she is unwittingly pushing them away from their only hope for true peace. Only by acknowledging our sin and repenting from it can we find forgiveness and eternal peace in Jesus Christ. Every human being is made in the image of God and has a right to life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Bono has no right to push others away from eternal life in Christ.
Dying together. 94-year-old Shirley Brickenden was thrilled to learn that her husband George was close to death. George and Shirley didn't want to live without each other, but only Shirley had been eligible to die under Canada's physician-assisted suicide laws. Shirley's rheumatoid arthritis earned her the stamp of approval, but at first, George's request was denied. Shirley says, "Of course I wouldn't go without him, and they knew I wouldn't. We had to wait and wait. Then, miraculously, he started to go downhill. After he passed out because of his faltering heart and suffered a life-threatening bout of flu, doctors gave George approval to die, and a physician ended the couple's lives on March 27. Trudeau Lemons, a professor of law and bioethics at the University of Toronto, says many in his field are concerned about an increasing number of cases like this because it gives the impression that old age and frailty have become accepted reasons to end a life. We should be careful not to normalize it, as if it is the solution to all end-of-life planning, even when we may have sympathy for the idea that a couple prefers not to leave each other behind. But Shanaz Gokul, CEO of the advocacy group Dying with Dignity, justifies the Brickenden's decision. Dying together is the final articulation of love that they've had for each other for nearly 73 years. The Bible doesn't leave dying to an individual's discretion. God gave us life, and only He has the right to take it. Whether death seems imminent or far off, taking a human life, even your own, is an affront against the image of God.